Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. We're in Romans chapter 8. In the last episode, we looked at verse 3. And after doing that episode, I've been thinking a little more thoroughly about this verse. I'd like to go back to it and just dig a little bit deeper and bring some more understanding to what I believe Paul's communicating here. Let me read the verse again. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. So let's talk a little bit about what Paul's saying here first about what the law could not do. Now, Paul's obviously already established the fact that no one can fulfill the law and be justified by the works of the law because no one's ever been able to do it perfectly. And this is obviously one of the things that Jesus did when He came as a human. He lived and He fulfilled the whole law. He Himself said that He didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And I personally believe that Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law. That means that He didn't break any commandments. He didn't do anything wrong. In other words, He didn't give any place in His heart or in His life and any expression whatsoever by way of sin. So He didn't sin. Whereas all other humans in the human race fell to the power of sin. Paul's explained this in detail, how the power of sin entered through Adam's disobedience, and through that sin, death entered in, therefore all died. He went into more detail in Romans chapter 7 about how sin takes opportunity through the law, through the actual commandment, and produces the actual thing that it doesn't want us to do. It produces that very thing which leads to sin, which then subsequently leads to death. Now, as we look at this in more detail, I wanted to go over into the book of Hebrews and just look specifically in regards to what the writer of Hebrews says about the law and then also about Jesus coming in the likeness of the flesh of sin. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, I want to read the first four verses. For the law, since it has only a shadow of good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offered continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. So right there, we have a very strong statement from the writer of Hebrews that the law, specifically the instructions of the sacrificial system, was not able to make perfect those who draw near. It was not able to make the worshiper complete. Now let's read on. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had a consciousness of sins. What the writer of Hebrews is saying is that if any of the sacrifices would have had within them the power to actually make the worshiper perfect, then they would have ceased to be offered. But instead, they were lacking, and this is why they were offered over and over. That's what he says in verse 3. But in those, that is the sacrifices, there is an actual reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So this is a very revealing fact about the provision of the law. It was impotent and to be able to do what was on God's heart to do for man. He wanted man to be brought to a place of completeness, fullness. He wanted them to be set free from the power of sin. But instead, the simple truth is that in the actual sacrifices, all they did was just offer a reminder year after year of their inability to actually make the worshiper perfect. Now, Let's also take a look at Hebrews chapter 2, a few verses there in regards to Jesus's humanness. It says in verse 14, "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death are subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." So now what's he saying? I believe this is a more detailed explanation of what Paul's saying right here in Romans 8:3. He says that God sent Jesus in the likeness of sinful flesh. As a man, he looked exactly like us, but he did something that no human was ever able to do. He perfectly resisted the power of sin. And in perfectly resisting the power of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, he passed a judgment on sin that said, "You have no authority." The law was unable to do this. The law was unable to hold sin at bay. It was a perfect instruction. It was just that because of the weakness of human flesh, it was not able to accomplish the end goal. But Jesus comes as a human in the likeness of the same flesh as a human, and he does what no human has ever been able to do. He resists sin. He perfectly fulfills the law, the requirement of the law, and he never allows sin to manifest in his flesh. And as a result, he condemns sin. He declares the penalty on the power of sin, that it does not have power in the flesh anymore. And this is going to lead in to the great provision of God for those who are in Christ, that they are going to receive the resource to be able to live the same type of life that Jesus lived. So I wanted to go a little bit deeper into these truths because I think they're so life-giving and powerful. If we can get our head around what Paul's communicating, he is literally saying that Jesus has declared a penalty of death on the power of sin in the flesh so that you and I no longer have to live in that place. It is possible, it is available for us to be able to live free from sin so that the law of sin and death no longer operate in our lives. And this is where Paul's going to move the discussion as we go through these next verses in chapter 8. He's going to give the practical dynamic of how you and I access this beautiful truth. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.